I suspect that David Clayton may also have gone to the Saturday morning pictures when he was young, but that's not what he's going to talk about now. David loves old cars, and he's now going to remind us all about one of his best ideas, the Radio Norfolk Old Car Rally.
Never have I had so much time to sort through cupboards, drawers and boxes and reflect on my working life. With another lockdown in full flow, I suppose we all have. It's only when I pause and take a moment to work it out, I realise I'm mostly delving back 40 years or more. As we've turned the corner into 2021, I can look back to the start of my career and realise I've been talking into microphones for 50 years. Blimey, that's half a century. What went wrong? I left school fully intending to be an accountant. I began in 1971 with a mobile disco and then a couple of years later helped start hospital radio around these parts. It took nearly a decade to land a professional radio job. I persuaded BBC Radio Norfolk they needed me when they opened in September 1980. I was asked to do a Sunday morning show pretty much 40 years ago to the month, and that's when I began musing on old cars and our motoring past. Undoubtedly, it's why I've ended up here with you listening to this. I can remember the moment, even now, my father had instilled in me, or at least encouraged, my boyhood fascination with cars. As we drove around the roads of North Yorkshire, where I lived until I was 10, he'd often point out different makes, and I got to know them, bolstered by an accumulating collection of car books. He always adopted a reverential tone when he saw a Jowett Javelin. It did look modern and streamlined compared to many of the other mundane 50s cars. It was this story on which I mused live on air one Sunday morning, adding, "I wonder who owns an old car here in Norfolk and Suffolk and still uses it." This prompted a couple of letters the following week. I read them out. The next week, a dozen or so letters arrived, all with good stories. They were from people who'd owned, or still owned, a piece of our motoring past. Then it really took off. I was inundated with this, that and the other claim to have the oldest car still in regular use. This was long before emailing and the internet, so letters were the order of the day. Opening an envelope was a genuine thrill, especially as some contained photos. It was clear to me that I'd tapped into something special and that lurking behind many an anonymous garage door across our patch were some classic motors, much loved and cherished by their owners who were, by and large, just ordinary folk preserving a bit of motoring history for their own pleasure. In many cases, it was all about pure nostalgia. In others, a genuine desire to keep some of our motoring heritage alive. Yes, I discovered there were wealthy owners with small classic car collections, but mostly good folk just doing it for the love. Stories came in, and the Jowett Javelin, or lack of one around this area, became a running gag and an on-air quest. People reported sightings and claimed there used to be one in the next village years ago. It might still be there. All trails ran cold, so we couldn't claim a locally based car to make a fuss of. It didn't stop memories coming in from people who'd once owned one. I recall the man who'd bought a second-hand Javelin in the early 60s, just after he and his wife had had a baby. They took to keeping a spare toweling nappy in the car's glove compartment. One very wet night they were heading home. The rain was so torrential it wasn't clearing from the road. One of the Javelin's Achilles heels was the fact it had a flat 4 power unit slung low at the front of the engine compartment from where it became drenched in the deeper water. The car spluttered to a halt and the engine failed to start. The owner knew a little about the mechanics and tore the nappy into strips and wrapped them around the spark plugs. This solved the waterlogged engine's reluctance to start, and they journeyed on. The Javelin was kept for a few more years, and long after the baby'd grown up, they never left home without a nappy in the glove compartment. Such was the interest I ended up generating around classic cars, it seemed logical to try and get a dozen together on the car park at Radio Norfolk, from where we could do an easy outside broadcast and celebrate the stories and the dedication of the owners. This, I thought, would be an adequate postscript to all the lovely correspondence. I can't remember the exact moment, but that idea suddenly transformed into a fully-fledged car rally on Earlham Park in Norwich, where we gathered around 100 cars and 5,000 spectators. The cars and the people came from far and wide. I'd reasoned, as this huge undertaking developed, that we'd need to have a winner of what became the first Radio Norfolk Old Car Rally. So sought and found the Wroxham-based car restorer David Wall, who along with classic car enthusiast and local businessman Robert Smedley, judged one special car to be the best. This was Ernie Good's pre-war Vauxhall, which epitomised why we brought all these cars together, after that chance remark on air. Ernie's dad had bought the car just before the war. The original bill of sale proved that. In fact, Ernie'd kept everything relating to the Vauxhall. It was christened the Duchess. Whilst lovingly looked after, it wasn't in anything like showroom condition. In places, Ernie had polished it down to the metal. There were many impressive pristine cars looking like they'd just come off an old production line, but the much-loved category was what we were after. Ernie's Duchess picked up the star prize. It was clear after doing it once the BBC Radio Norfolk Old Car Rally was to be a much-anticipated annual event, and each year, until he was no longer able to, Ernie Good and the Vauxhall made a guest appearance. The car rally continued for many years, combining with the annual Norfolk Police Gala Day. I met many car owners and their fascinating cars along the way, many of whom I still bump into writing for Let's Talk, but I lost touch with Ernie. One question I'd always put to him was, what would happen to the Duchess when he was gone? He had no one he wanted to leave it to, nor did he want to sell it to someone who might over-restore it or not care for it as he had. He wanted it to go to the Science Museum in London, and much of his time was spent arranging this. Once they'd taken it, he had to have it back because he was missing it. The last BBC Radio Norfolk Old Car Rally was in 2009. I'm sure it would have happened anyway, but over the years I witnessed a growing interest and enjoyment in our motoring past. The cars that are being preserved and cherished now seem quite new, but if you're spending long hours in a drafty garage keeping a lot of our motoring heritage running, thank you. And I salute you.
Thank you, David. I'm afraid I'm not an old car fan. I once owned an old Land Rover, but I was no mechanic. And when it broke down in the middle of the Kalahari Desert, I was not amused. And nor were my mother and father, who I was taking on a holiday trip. How we got out without being trampled by elephants or eaten by lions is another story.